Well, several weeks ago, we started a series titled Supernatural. Now, of course, last week was Easter, and we had a Easter-themed teaching and some videos and some music and just had a great celebration together, and we just thank God for those who made Jesus Christ the Lord of their life. Last week, we also baptized 9 people in water, and it was awesome. I mean, if you were here not this past Wednesday, but the week before that, leading up to Easter, we baptized 9 people, and every one of them got their prayer language, speaking in other tongues, and it was awesome. We were praying over, prophesying over them, speaking word of wisdom, word of knowledge. It's very normal, very natural, those kinds of things. And so what we want to do is, as we continue to teach on this series titled Supernatural, is really start to talk about the Holy Spirit for the rest of us, so we really understand what the Holy Spirit, or who he is, I should say. He's not an it, he's a who. And what the ministry of Holy Spirit is in our lives. We've taken quite a bit of time for the first 5 sessions of this series and really talked about the attributes, some of the attributes of God, and really things that we need to understand. And the best one I can think of is say good God, say bad devil. And that was one of them we talked about, one of the virtues of God. And that is true. God is good all the time. And we really, really need to believe that. And so this morning, we want to talk a little bit about the person of the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and why he is given by Jesus into our lives, and what the necessity is of receiving him and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Mark 16:17, it says, "And these signs will follow those who believe." How many believers today? How many believe in the name of Jesus? He says, "In my name, they will," say, "I will," "cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means harm them or hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover." See, these are signs that should follow the lives of believers. Not just the exclusive few, not just the pastors and the teachers and the evangelists and those kinds of things, what we call the fivefold ministry, but it's supposed to follow every single person who names the name of Christ. And listen, we've said this before, but you realize every one of us is in full-time ministry. Every one of us. God puts money into our lives so we can pay bills in a lot of different ways. But every one of us is called to full-time ministry. And the power of the Holy Spirit is so important to your personal ministry as you reach out to those that God has put in your path. We've talked about over the past few weeks how we're citizens of heaven and how God really has prepared works for us beforehand through Christ Jesus. We're his workmanship, and he has ordered good works for us. So really, what ends up happening is you and I need to embrace Holy Spirit, and we'll talk more about that today and next week, embrace Holy Spirit so that those preordained works, if you will, that God has already ordered, we can line ourselves up with it. And Holy Spirit leads us into that truth. And it's so hard to really be in the will of God without the gift of the Holy Spirit and without establishing a relationship with him. And that's what we're going to dedicate a lot of our time to this morning, is having a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Because how many want to fulfill the will of God for your lives? How many want to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant," when you get home? And it really, this is what it's all about. It's fulfilling the call of God or the works of God that he has prepared beforehand. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 1:14 that Holy Spirit is our guarantee, or in one translation, it says down payment for the things to come. And so Holy Spirit is given to us as a down payment for the things of the kingdom, and you and I should walk in the power of that Holy Spirit even now. Now, 2 weeks ago, we left you with this scripture, Galatians 5:22. It says, "But when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, he will produce this kind of fruit in us: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." Now, who produces that in our lives? Holy Spirit. He does. Holy Spirit. This is not something we try to do on our own. This is something, now what we should be working at is really pursuing Holy Spirit, pursuing our relationship with him so that he starts to produce fruit in our lives. John 15, Jesus said, "If you abide in me and my word abides in you," the word of God is one way that the Holy Spirit speaks to us. We'll talk about that in a moment. But if we're abiding in him, say abide, then what's happening is we are bearing the fruit that we read here in Galatians chapter 5. He goes on, he says, "Here there is no conflict with the law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to the cross and crucified them there. If we're living now by the Holy Spirit, let us follow the Holy Spirit's leading in every part of our lives." And really following the leading of the Holy Spirit is what it's all about. Now, so many people, misinformed people, think that Holy Spirit comes to condemn us, and say, you're not right with God. Boy, you messed up. Boy, you cursed today. You had a bad thought. That is not what Holy Spirit's for. Holy Spirit does convict us, but he convicts us of the need for a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ. After that, he convicts us of righteousness. I want to prove it to you. I want to read John 16, John 16, 8 through 11. We're going to read this in New Living Translation. Let me pull it up here. And John 16, we'll start in verse 8. It says this, and when he comes, notice it's not an it, he's a he, he's a person, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. Now pay attention. Verse 9, the world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. God convicts us of sin because we refuse to believe in Jesus. Jesus said this, that you can only come to the Father if the Holy Spirit will draw you. Holy Spirit comes and convicts us of our need for a Savior. All right? Because listen, it's not a particular sin that sends you to hell. What sends us to hell is not receiving Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And that's the conviction Holy Spirit does. But then it says, righteousness is available because I go to the Father and you see me no more, and then convicts of judgment because the ruler of this world has already been judged. And so what it's showing us here is Holy Spirit, in fact, convicts us of the need of a Savior, and then he convicts us, if you will, or confirms that we are righteous. It tells us in 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21, that he made Jesus to be sin for us so that we could be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It goes on and says that old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. And so we receive Holy Spirit when we receive Christ, all right? And he comes to us, convicts us that we need a Savior, starts to tell us how righteous we are, and then shows us that judgment has been paid at Calvary's cross and the devil is taken care of. Do you see that? That's what Holy Spirit does. Now, there's a whole relationship issue that we're going to talk about because Holy Spirit wants a relationship with us, and that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit comes when you receive Christ as your Savior, you are born again. You understand that you need a Savior, as we just explained. Then he starts to come and tells you how righteous you are. But then when you ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, your relationship with him starts to get deeper, starts to get richer. And that's what we want to talk about, not only this morning, but for the next few weeks as Holy Spirit directs us. When my life is controlled by the Spirit of God, I am producing fruits of the Spirit of God. It's not practicing a principle, all right? That's religion. Practicing a principle is religion. Religion will say, well, you need to go get prayed for again. You need to give your heart to Christ again. There are whole denominations that don't think that they have had church or that church is over until nobody comes down to the altar anymore. And they'll be there for hours, just waiting, just saying, repent, sinners, you're terrible. There must be some of you here that still need to repent and get down to this altar. And people just come and they come. This, and that is not our relationship with Christ. But there's been whole denominations who think that that's how we're called to be a witness to the world. And they put banners up. They say, all rock and rollers are going to hell. Well, I thank God that's not true because I'd be going there and I'm not. All right? And that's not what the Bible teaches, by the way. It teaches that we're only saved through Jesus Christ. And if we don't believe in his name, that's why we don't go to heaven. That's why we go to hell, not our works. Not the kind of music that we like or don't like. And he wants us to grow in a relationship through him. It's not practicing principle. It's growing in a relationship. And when we grow in a relationship with the Holy Spirit, he starts to produce these kinds of fruits in our lives, and our life changes. 2 Peter 1, 4, it says, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, Jesus he's talking about, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. See, his divine nature growing on the inside of us. Holy Spirit comes to continue to really tell us that God's divine nature is on the inside. And then as we have a relationship that's growing with him, we start to produce that divine nature. And really what it does is it helps us to overcome the lust that is in the world. That's what we just read. Now, what does that mean? Well, simply, I believe this. We are either meeting the needs that we have with everything else in the world, or we're allowing Jesus Christ or Holy Spirit to meet our needs. We're either trying to meet our own needs with everything else that is in the world, and that's what lust is. Okay, you see people who have a problem with pornography, or have a problem with drugs, or with alcohol. In fact, someone said this. Someone said the temptation is a genuine need being met the wrong way. It's a genuine need being met the wrong way. It's a need that you have. You want to be accepted, and so you may fall into some kind of sexual temptation or lust in that way. You have a need to really to feel like you're important or that you matter, and you may fall into alcoholism or drug addiction. Okay, you see that? You might feel that, boy, I need to take care of myself. And so we see so many people that become what we've labeled workaholics. It's good to work hard. But when you're working so hard that you are just completely trusting yourself to build up riches, listen, that is not God's best for you. Do you understand? You're with me this morning, okay? And so what, matter of fact, let me read this to you. This will help us out. James 1:14. If you're following on your smartphone, it's not in those notes, but James 1:14. We'll go there here. That chapter in verse 14. We'll read in the New Living Testament. It says, temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. So don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Whatever is good and perfect, remember we say good God, bad devil, are you with me? Whatever is good and perfect comes down to us from Father God, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. Verse 18, he chose to give birth to us by giving us his true word, and we, out of all creation, became his prized possession. And so what we see here is lust is the thing that gives place to sin, and lust is when we're meeting a need that we have that Holy Spirit wants to meet. And that's why he's telling us in the scripture that we read just a moment ago that he has delivered us through his divine nature so that we can escape the corruption that's in the world through lust. Are you with me this morning? All right, so his divine nature is growing on the inside of us. Robert Morris of Gateway Church in Northern Texas says this. He says, the fruit of the Spirit is a gift. The qualities he produces in our lives are like packages from heaven itself, filled with blessings, miracles, and power. See, the fruit of the Spirit really is coming, filling our lives with blessings, miracles, and power. And you and I need to believe that. But listen, it doesn't just happen because you say, I'm going to believe. Miracles and blessings and power. Miracles and blessings and power. Miracles and blessings and power. Follow the yellow brick road. It doesn't work like that. All right? It doesn't work like that, really. But what we do is we pursue our relationship with him and allow the divine nature of God to start to get on the inside of us. And it doesn't happen by just quickly coming into God's presence for a couple of minutes. Now, we can sometimes if you're establishing a habit, but so many times we have a whole church, especially in our society, in this country, that the only time we really hear God's voice is when we come to church. And they tell us that the average person comes to church one or two times a month. If you're really good, you come once a week. But you know, once a week isn't enough for a half an hour, is not enough. You and I need to be in the Word. We need to be communing with Holy Spirit, allowing him to really work on the inside of us. So today we want to talk a little bit more about knowing the Holy Spirit, understanding that Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity. He is God. He's a person with a personality. He's not an it. He's a who. Horton, here's a who. Trisha, here's a who. Crystal, here's a who. Tony, here's a who. See, God wants us to hear, say, I hear. His voice. And so Holy Spirit wants that relationship with you. And we're going to talk about the different ways that he develops that relationship in just a moment. But let me read John 16. Jesus was teaching. He said, however, when he, notice he's a person, the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. Remember, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. The Bible tells us in John chapter 1 that through Moses came the law, but through Jesus Christ came grace, say grace, and truth, say truth. And so Jesus is the truth. So the Holy Spirit is bearing witness of the truth, which is Jesus. Jesus is not a truth. Jesus is the truth. That's it, bottom line. He will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. How many know it's good to hear things coming? Come on. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine. Listen carefully. Jesus is saying, Holy Spirit will take of what is mine and declare it to you. That's good news. All things that the Father has are mine. How many things? All things. All things that the Father has. You see Jesus talking about Holy Spirit? Father, Son, he's talking. Holy Spirit, three parts. Everything that Father has for me, Jesus says, I declare to you, Gary. To you. That's what he's saying. Therefore, I said that he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. So all the things that Father God has given to Jesus Christ have now been transferred to you and I, but most Christians don't walk in it because they don't develop their relationship with Holy Spirit. In fact, most denominations don't even want to talk about Holy Spirit. We'll acknowledge him, we may say, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit when we pray, but we don't talk about him because, you know, somebody might pray in tongues or something. Oh, God forbid that we do something the Bible tells us to do. Because the Bible does, and we'll be taught. We won't be able to get to it today probably, but next week you need to come out so we can show you. Now, we talked about this on the Wednesday night that we baptized, not last Wednesday, but the Wednesday before, leading up to Easter. We talked about these things. It was a wonderful service, wonderful service. And so these things are in Scripture. Holy Spirit bears witness of the truth. He declares truth to us. He speaks to us. He's a person. It's not legalism. It's intimacy. And so many times people think that obedience, got to do this, got to do that, got to do. I have seen, let me, this is just a word. This is a word for husbands. You know, wives can take this word too, but since I'm a husband, I'm a man, this is to husbands. All right? I've seen guys so many times, they say, well, my wife, you know, she just isn't living right for God. And so whenever their wife has a problem, they just quote a scripture. Say this, this, and that, and the other thing. I've seen so many people have rough marriages because the spouse just says, well, the Bible says this, and that's what you need to do. You know, sometimes your wife just needs you to let her hug you. She just needs to lay her head on your shoulder. Put your head on my shoulder. There's a song for everything. There is a song for everything. But you know, we get so legalistic. So many people are so legalistic with this. That is, I'm going to show you a good example. Luke 6. Luke 6. We'll read in New King James Version. And hold on a minute. Let me find Luke chapter 6. And I'm going to start to read in verse 1. Luke 6, 1. Or Luke 6. Here, I grabbed the wrong chapter. 6, verse 1. One Sabbath day, as Jesus was walking through some grain fields, his disciples broke off heads of grain, rubbed off the husks in their hands, and ate the grain. But some Pharisees said, why are you breaking the law by harvesting grain on the Sabbath? All right? Jesus replied, haven't you read in the Scriptures what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He went into the house of God and broke the what? Law? What does it say? He broke the law by eating the sacred loaves. Jesus is saying David broke the law. Is Jesus saying this? Okay, is that what he's saying? All right. He says he went into the house of God. He broke the law by eating the sacred loaves of bread that only the priest can eat. He also gave some to his companions. And Jesus added, the Son of Man is Lord, even over the Sabbath. So what Jesus really is teaching here, look, your relationship with God is not about legalism. The people of Israel, and we're not going to have time to study this up, but you see this all over in religious communities, is we come up with all these rules and these regulations that really is not the intent that God has for us. God came to have a relationship with us. As a matter of fact, I'm going to get off my notes a little bit more, if you'll let me. We didn't get to this first service, but Zach, this isn't in your notes, so you'll have to look this up, and you're doing an awesome job back there this morning. Thank you so much. Awesome. I love our technical ministry. Thank you, Zach. I want to read this. We didn't do this first service. It's Jeremiah 31. I'm going to read in the New King James Version. Jeremiah 31, New King James Version. Say relationship. Jeremiah 31. I'm going to read verses 32 and 33 in the New King James Version. Speaking of the new covenant that you and I will have, and that's the covenant that we now have delivered to us by Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit, which we're talking about today. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant, which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. Husband. Understand something. The Bible is a story about Jesus Christ and his bride. From cover to cover. From cover to cover. It's about Jesus doing what he needed to do to redeem his bride, which is the church, and that's you and I. It says, as a husband to them, says the Lord, but this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now, next week, we won't have time to get to it today, but next week, we'll start to talk about spirit, soul, and body, all right, a little bit. And understand that God, as a person, has a mind, a will, and emotions, all right? We got to understand, Holy Spirit and God, they're not it's. They're not just out there somewhere watching us and moving us around as pawns. See, that's what I used to think before I got saved. I figured there was some kind of eternal being. Didn't have a good, clear understanding, at least a biblical understanding. I had my own understanding. I thought God and the devil were just there playing chess with us all. You know, and God would take a few moves, and if I was good enough, maybe I'd be on God's team that week. All right, but that is not true. God wants a relationship with us. He wants a relationship the way a husband and a wife have a relationship. All right, let's get back to our notes. It's not legalism, it's intimacy. His greatest desire is to speak to us and that we hear him. Now, I want to talk in our remaining moments just a little bit about a couple of ways that Holy Spirit communicates with us. I also want to remind you, you'll see that little tag up there, tweet me. All right? Get on Twitter and tweet me. It would be a real tweet thing if you would tweet me. All right? We had a young man first service. He was going to start to go into his best Tweety Bird impression, but I asked him not to, so he didn't. Now, I like, you know, Facebook. I've got a Facebook, and that's cool and everything, but with Twitter, I like Twitter because there's just so many good articles and things on there, and, you know, I'm not much into pictures and stuff. That's Trisha's thing, and I love looking at pictures from time to time, but, you know, Facebook, okay, Facebook's Facebook, but I like Twitter. And you can get on there. And so get on there. If you don't have an account, create one. And the reason I'm telling you that is sometime over the next couple months, we're going to do a series, and we're going to encourage you to really ask questions. All right? We're going to call it Hot Topics. And you get to ask questions in service, and we'll answer them. All right? And the way you're going to do that is through Twitter. So get on there. If you have a smartphone, get on Twitter and tweet at Tony Pasquino, and let's chat. All right. Two ways I want to talk about this morning, the way Holy Spirit will communicate to you and I. Number one is through His Word. Through His Word. I tell you, it is a shame to see a Christian who doesn't read their Bible. Again, this is not legalism. We've already clarified that. I'm not talking about, matter of fact, this morning, I have a Bible reading program that I follow. We've got them for you. They're out in the foyer. Go to the information table and grab a Bible reading program. It breaks it down for you. You can get through the Bible in a year if you follow just that simple plan. If you want to read more than that, just double it up. But it gives you something to follow. It gives you a plan, all right? Listen. Dreams without a plan can turn into a nightmare, all right? That's just, we need a plan. You need a plan. If you want to grow in Christ, you need a plan. Now, it's not legalistic. This morning, I got up. I did not read off my plan. It's like, okay, take the mic away. Pastor can't preach. He didn't do his reading according to the reading plan. Nope, I didn't read it at all. Matter of fact, I won't even go home and read it unless I really feel like I want to. Pastor, yeah. Like, you mean the way God wants you to? No, the way I want to. Oh, I'm killing somebody's religious spirits this morning. Now, I'm all for obedience, all right? But understand something. If all I ever did was tell Trish to obey me, how many know we wouldn't be married for 25 years? And if we did, it would not be as glorious as it is. That's the truth. It's a relationship. You got to understand that. But a Christian who doesn't read the Word, I tell you, it is a shame. So if you're not in a habit of reading the Word, change it today. It's that simple. Start to read it. People say, well, I don't understand the Word. That's a cop-out. I know people that could not read until they got born again, and they are just ferocious readers now, if that's a word. I think it is. I hardly read at all. But before I got born again, voracious, that's the word. Thank you. I can always count on. I combined ferocious and voracious and made ferocious. It's a new word, and I'm good at that. Yeah, put that on Wikipedia, right? Okay. Now I'm totally off track. But I know people that couldn't even read, and they started reading the Word, and God helped them with their illiteracy. Seriously. I hardly read anything. I mean, before I got saved, I think I read one book. Seriously, one book by the age of 31. One book. I read so much now, you'd be like, what in the... I read and read and read. That's why I make up words. I mean, I read, ask Trish, I am constantly reading, constantly. I could be watching Detroit, go Tigers, come on, and I'm reading. I'm watching Michigan, go Michigan, right? Woo! But I'm reading. I got the TV on mute. You'll get to see the good highlights. Read, read, read. I'm not saying you have to do that, but listen, you can read. And another thing that may help you is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you want to know more about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, either come down after service. We'll have some people around that can pray. Someone who's got a name tag would be happy to pray with you. Trish and I will pray with you. Or come back next week, because we'll get to that next week. And we're going to pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Doesn't mean you're not saved. We're talking about embracing the Holy Spirit as a person and his gifts. And we'll talk more about that next week. But one of the ways God wants to talk to us through Holy Spirit is by his word. Listen to what it says in John 14, 23. Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me," are you in anyone this morning? He says, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." Listen, keep my word. He's talking about keeping it, guarding it in your heart. What does it say in Psalms? I have guarded your heart, or kept my, or guarded my, your word in my heart, or kept your word in my heart, that I may not sin against you, O Lord. All right, so keeping it in our hearts. It says, my Father and I will love him, and we'll come and make our home with him. The word creates an environment for God to dwell through Holy Spirit. Let me explain. So when you read the Bible, you say you get your reading program. This is your homework for the week. Take a reading program. Sit down, open up the Word of God, and just start to read it as if you were reading about a person that you want a relationship with. Matter of fact, that really is just it. If you think about it, if there was a person that you wanted to have a relationship with, all right, wouldn't you want to find out as much as you could about that person? I remember when Trisha and I got married, and she'll remember this. She wasn't in first service. She was helping with some other things. But she'll remember the first time, we weren't even engaged yet, but we were just starting to date, our first Christmas together, I spoiled her rotten. She'll remember that. I got her all, that's just what I wanted. Oh, that's just what, but see, I found out what she wanted because I spent time with her. If you had a book that told you about a person that you really wanted to learn about, I'm setting you up. Wouldn't you want to read it? Wouldn't you want to read? If you had a book that told you about the person who created everything there is, and you wanted to know him, and you should want to know him, wouldn't you want to read that book? And that's what the Bible is there for, to help us understand God's ways, help us understand things about his personality, all right? See, we can pour out our hearts in prayer, but it's the word that renews our minds. Romans 12, 2. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds that you may prove what is that good, perfect, acceptable will of God. All right, so we can pray all day and we can do this and that, but it's the word of God that starts to renew our minds so we know what God, Holy Spirit, is like. And now I start to line up with the way he thinks. I start to pray for his will. I'm examining the scriptures. So you get home and you start to read the scriptures and you just start to enjoy them. You may stop on one verse and like, oh, awesome. I have called you with an everlasting love. An everlasting love. And you start to say, Father, does that mean you'll never leave me? Oh, yeah. Does that mean that you'll always be there even if I mess up? Oh, yeah. The Holy Spirit will start. You can just, and you start to take this one thought, this attribute of God, and you start to meditate on it. This is your homework this week. And if you want to read through so you can get the Bible done, that's okay too. Because it's good to know the Bible. It's really good. But it's better to know the author. Come on, somebody. And that's really why it's there, is so we can get to know the author. So he speaks to us through his word, but he also speaks to us through his voice. And I just gave you a little example of that before we got to this point. You read the word, but then his voice starts to come, and he starts to minister to you with his voice. Look what it says, John 10:1. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name. I'm going to back up, verse 3 again. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his, what? Voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. And finally in verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So five times you see that Jesus either references his voice or the fact that the sheep are hearing him speak. Five times you see him mention that. By the way, he says that anyone who comes up another way is a thief and a robber. If you go on and read this chapter, is where Jesus says the thief comes but only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly. So what he's saying here is he's telling us when we hear his voice, we start to draw near to him, and we won't hear the voice of the thief or the robber, The Bible tells us in Peter and James to draw near to God, humble ourselves under his mighty hand. As we draw near to God, he'll draw near to us, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Is this making sense to you today? So the way that you have victory over the devil in your life is to draw near to God. And you can't draw near to God when you don't learn to hear his voice. Are you with me? And so it's so important that we live this way. And this is how God wants every born-again believer to understand him, to hear his voice. Trish and I have been married for almost 25 years. May 21st, we'll be married for 25 years. And we've been dating over 26 years. And listen, if we were in a room like this with people like we are right now, I could hear her voice. Many of you have been married for a while. You know what I'm talking about. I could hear her. Matter of fact, I know her looks. I know what her looks mean. You know, we're at the office working throughout the week, and she may go down and use the restroom or do something over in one of the other rooms, and I got my door open, and she'll come walking by, and she'll walk by, and she'll just, and I'll go. And then she'll close my door and say, get to work. No, I'm just, no. But you know each other's voice, you know each other's look, you see? And what happens is you're developing this relationship, and it's a shame, but most Christians don't take time to develop the voice, understanding the voice of the Lord. Just a little look, just a little nudge. As a matter of fact, let me read a couple more scriptures here. Look at this. This will help us out. The voice of the Lord, John 15, 26. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he's the Spirit of truth, he's the Spirit of Jesus. Remember, Jesus is truth. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, triune God. We'll look at some scriptures to support that in a minute. Because I want you to understand that the Holy Spirit has a personality and he has a ministry. He will testify of me. And you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. John 16, 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you of things to come. Well, isn't that interesting? It says, whatever he hears, he'll speak. Jesus talked, and he said, I only do the things that I see my Father do. I only speak the things that I hear him speak. So what we see is Jesus, understand, Jesus lived this way. Jesus was 100% God. He was the only one who could be sacrificed to take away our sin. We celebrated Easter, Resurrection Day, last week because he was nailed to the cross. He was put in a tomb. After 3 days, he rose from the dead, our justification. All right? Only he could do that. But he lived as a man empowered by the Holy Spirit. It tells us in Acts 10:38 that how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, and he went around doing good, healing all those who were oppressed of the devil. So there was an anointing that Jesus walked in, and it's the same anointing you see. Jesus is saying, the Spirit, all right, the Spirit of God will come and speak to you, not of his own, but of things that he's heard from me and my Father. Does this make sense to you? This is how Jesus lived. Jesus lived as an example, and you can see this all through the Gospels. When you meet someone who really knows the voice of the Lord, you can tell that that person has spent a lot of time with God. You can tell. When you start to talk to somebody and they start to talk about the personality of God and Holy Spirit and the leading of God, you know that that person has spent time with God. You can tell. But that shouldn't be just a few of us. We should all be that way. People should be able to tell as soon as we start to speak. I mean, that's, listen to this. That's why people looked at Jesus and said, you don't speak like the religious people. You speak like one with authority. That's why people will see you on the job and they'll say, you don't speak like the people I know that go over to this religious place. You speak like you know God. Well, I do. How would you like to know him? See, and you've got an open door. But so many times we just want to hold up a sign. All rock and rollers are going to hell. I'm glad that isn't true. You know? But that's what we do. We want to come up with these ways that we think is being a witness. Do you know that if you and I would just learn how to hear Holy Spirit's voice, we'd be a greater witness than anybody has ever seen? Because we would live just like Jesus did. We would hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And when he started to guide us and lead us, we would go in that way. See, when you and I first start to listen to God's voice, and when you start to practice this, and we're going to talk about this for the next couple of weeks, I really encourage you to continue to come to church, come back, as we're going to continue this series. But when you first start to listen to the voice of the Lord, it will seem like your own thoughts. And some of you know what I'm talking about. But with time, as you start to acknowledge the Holy Spirit, with time what starts to happen is you start to be able to discern between your thoughts and his thoughts. All right? You'll start to be able to discern between the thoughts of the Holy Spirit and your own thoughts. All right? It'll become easier. The shepherd still speaks to his sheep, and he wants to speak to you today. Now, before we dismiss this morning, I want to talk just a little bit more about the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, so that we can see Holy Spirit is 100% God, all right? He is deity, but he comes and he bears witness with our spirits, communicates with our spirit, all right? Your spirit, you have a spirit that is born again. Holy Spirit comes and bears witness or communes with that spirit. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 that when we become one with God, we become one spirit with him. It's like a marriage. And again, the whole Bible is about Jesus and his bride. You got to understand that concept. So what happens when a husband and a wife come together? Of course, the wedding is consummated, and that's where babies come from, okay? But it's consummated, but there's more than that. It's a spiritual consummation. There's a spiritual connection where we become one. Well, the Holy Spirit and your spirit is the same thing. God wants to be one with you like a husband and wife. Does that make sense to you this morning? All right, that's what happens. But you need to understand that it's God, Holy Spirit, coming and bearing witness with your spirit. He is part of the Godhead. Luke 3:22. And the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him, that him is Jesus, being baptized by John the Baptist. And a voice, that's Father God, came from heaven, which said, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So we see all three of them in one spot here. Okay? We see Holy Spirit coming in the form of a dove. We see the Son being baptized by John the Baptist, and we hear a voice, Father God, speaking. Do you see that? So there's three parts. As a matter of fact, in the commission that all of us are commissioned to go and preach the gospel, listen, he shows us the Father, Son, Holy Spirit there. "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." See, Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead, and his ministry is to bear witness with our spirits, the things of God that are true, and to lead us, to guide us, to comfort us. Jesus says he's the Parakletos, the one who comes alongside to comfort and to lead. And our time is up today, so we'll continue this next week. Would you please just bow your heads? Father, I thank you for the Word of God. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your ministry to the saints. Today we just call upon you. I just pray for every person here that our relationship with you, Lord, would just be enriched, would be strengthened like never before, that we would know the things of God. Let me pray over you. Now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, and ratified an eternal covenant with his blood, may he equip you with all you need for doing his will. May he produce in you, through the power of Jesus Christ, every good thing that is pleasing to him. All glory to him forever and ever. Amen. Now, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I recommend that you find someone with a name tag. Talk to me or Trish. It's as simple as saying, "Jesus, I believe that you came and paid the price for my sin. I accept your gift. I'm not going to live for myself anymore. I'm going to live for you." And then you receive him as your Savior. Because you can't be good enough. It's not about a bunch of works. It's about receiving Christ so that you can know that you're on your way to heaven. If you want to know that you're on your way to heaven, we've got information that we want to give to you. As a matter of fact, I just want to throw this out there. If you want to know that today, I'm going to ask you to lift your hand because I want to give you this information. On the count of three. One, two, three. Say, "Pastor, I want to know Jesus. I want to know him as my Savior. I want to know that I'm born again." Anybody want to know that? Want to know that you're right with God? I see a hand back there. No? All born again. All right. If you're a first-time guest, we have something we call a welcome brochure. We'd love to give to you. There's